Blog Talk Radio.
AS, this is AST Radio.
Hey guys, what's going on? This is Arden with the Snatchback Podcast, back with another episode. If you're listening to this and there's a little delay, sorry about that. This actually happened because of the fact that I was aiming for a 1 o'clock start. And the last 5 minutes, I've literally was just spending trying to fill in all the information on the Blog Talk site so I could go ahead and follow through with getting this show started at 1 o'clock because I have what could be a pretty busy afternoon. So if there was like a silence for the first 10 to 20 seconds, I apologize. But either way, this is Arden with the Snatchback Podcast, episode 6, episode LeBron James in Miami. I really do appreciate it, man. I had to get back on this once again because last week you guys showed some love and really liked that episode. And you know what? I'm back into the basketball group things again in terms of paying attention to the game and watching and doing all that stuff from a fan standpoint. You know, as a coach, as a player, I'm always in tune. But as a fan, I'm really getting back in tune with it. So it's a beautiful thing, man. And, of course, there's just so many things to talk about. So many things to look at and to just go over. And we're definitely going to do that today on this episode. So thank you again for tuning in. Thunder and the Warriors played last night. That was a good game. I mean, of course, good game, fun. But the Warriors pulled it out. They got the dub. But then what was the score? It'd be 116 to 104. I think I'm actually going to check the score right now, but I'm pretty sure it was like 116 to 104. And I was talking to my dude, Andrew, this morning about the game and even thinking about it last night. And I know for as much as everybody wants to have Oklahoma City versus Golden State in the playoffs, I honestly don't. Like, I really, really don't. I actually got the score right here. Sorry. It wasn't 116 to 104. It was 121 to 106. But like I was saying, I'm probably one of the few people where, to be honest, I don't really want Oklahoma City versus Golden State. Like, I get it. Like, I understand how fun of a matchup it can be, especially because of the names. You know, of course, you look at Golden State, there's the obvious. There's Steph Curry, and there's Klay Thompson, and there's Draymond Green. And, of course, Oklahoma City, there's Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. And even to OKC's credit, they have been competitive with Golden State in their regular season matchups. But when I think about Golden State and Oklahoma City in the playoffs, I just think of what could be a fun five-game series. But are we looking for fun or are we trying to look for competitiveness? Really seeing some high-caliber basketball. Because if we're trying to find a team that can take down Golden State or push Golden State, then it's easily the San Antonio Spurs. Point blank, period. I understand, you know, Oklahoma City, they've had their fair share of close games versus Golden State, and the last two games have proven that, and, you know, basically it came down to fourth quarter collapses, but I just think even within those games, you just see that Oklahoma City is not on Golden State's level, and that there's certain things about their team that will hold them back from really even threatening Golden State, you know, and I think a big reason for that is it goes to what will help San Antonio compete with Golden State and potentially beat them, which is the intangibles. It comes down to the focus. It comes down to hunger. It comes down to the ability to just play the game the right way and execute, and not necessarily talent. I think when you look at teams like Golden State and San Antonio, those teams aren't the most talented teams in the league. I think if we really had to look at talent from an individual standpoint, I doubt Golden State would really have like a top 8 roster or top 10 roster when it comes to talent. I'm being completely honest. In terms of individual talent, I don't think individually they have the most talented guys in the league. Now, granted, of course, we know about Steph, we know about Draymond, we know about Klay, but I'm talking as a 15-man unit, I don't think they got that. What I feel what really gives them that edge, along with what gives San Antonio that edge, is when you have just enough talent, and you happen to have within that talent that is just enough some pretty special players, but then you have great coaching, you have a great system that utilizes everybody the right way. And also back to those players, players that are committed, along with the fact that you are just experienced and your mental aspect for the game is incredible, that to me overwhelms any team that's just relying on talent, i.e. the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Because if the game was really predicated on talent, then Cleveland would fare better versus Golden State. Oklahoma City would fare better versus Golden State, and heck, perhaps win those games. They don't, because it's just not a talent thing. It's really not. It's not just a talent thing, and I just believe that for a team like Oklahoma City, you just see what will hold them back. And you'll see the fact that, for one, it's they're lacking those championship intangibles. They don't have a championship focus. They don't have a championship hunger to them. You know, they don't have championship discipline. You dig what I'm saying? And when we talk about the talent, their bench in terms of a talent standpoint, you're just not so sure. You look at the starting five. You know, you don't know what you're going to get from a Serge Ibaka and others. KD is going to be KD. Westbrook is going to be Westbrook. But even then, Westbrook versus Golden State, even though I know the numbers will say otherwise, it doesn't feel like Westbrook versus Golden State is his usual dynamic self. Like, you know, like, again, it's easy to look at numbers. Let's say even for last night, and you go, well, Westbrook had 22 points, 6 rebounds, and 7 assists. Oh, what you mean he's not effective? Okay, you can say that, but he's not shooting the ball well versus Golden State. Steph is outplaying him in the fourth quarter late in games. He's not that playmaker that he was in the other 3.5 quarters. And you look at a team like Golden State and you wonder how they're able to beat teams out and how they're able to do what they do. It goes back to what we saw last year, and especially in the finals, man. They get help from everywhere. Forget just, oh, Steph Curry with his 33 points. It's about the fact that, okay, Klay Thompson was able to chip in with 21. Draymond, 14. Harrison Barnes, 14. Andre Bogut, 7. Then you look at the bench, Spates, 10. Livingston, 11. Barbosa, 6. Like, for as crazy as it may sound, like, oh, what you mean 6 to 8 points make a difference? It really does make a difference. It's huge, man. When you got four guys, let's say on an average night, you can get four guys to score in double digits. If you can get, like, at least three other people to get 6 to 8 points, that's a win. That's a win. Golden State last night had 6 guys in double digits. Bogut and Barbosa had 13 combined with 7 and 6, which means a couple more buckets here and there, and they're in double digits too. You can't beat that. You can't beat that type of scoring, even if you're Oklahoma City and Durant got 32 and two others got 20, plus because of the fact that everybody else on the roster is stuck between 3 and 9. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's tough to beat. That balanced scoring is very tough to beat, and they can get it from everywhere. The only team that could really do that is San Antonio. That's the only team. Along with the fact that they have those intangibles. They have Coach Pop. They have that championship experience that, and let's also mention this, that has been built over years. Like, when you look at Golden State, what's happening with them has been built basically going back to 2009 with the selection of Steph. And then following, you know, getting Klay and getting Draymond, and of course going from Mark Jackson to Steve Kerr and getting Iguodala and Bogut and the other pieces of that team. So this is like 7 years worth of experience for this ball club. Look at San Antonio. Again, this is an evolution that has been taking place basically for 20 years. You know what I'm saying? So this is something where this is years and years of work. Now, you can look at Oklahoma City and go, well, these guys have been together for quite some time, which is true. Durant's been in the league since, what, 2007? Westbrook been in the league, what, since like 08? But their makeup of what their team is has changed constantly. So I don't really think in Oklahoma City there's really been a case of culture being built down there, if you understand what I'm saying. I don't think I don't think Oklahoma City has necessarily been able to build a culture. Heck, even the Miami Heat during the 4 short years they were together with LeBron, D-Wade, and Bosh, they were able to build a culture, a legitimate winning culture in those 4 years, which is why they was able to win championships. They was able to get to the finals. And most importantly, they was able to dig themselves out of bad situations when they were in them. Rarely were they in them, but they was able to dig themselves out. But when it comes down to it, I say that to say this. I think if you're looking for a team that can, at the very least, push Golden State a bit, push them to the limits, it's San Antonio. Because San Antonio has those same intangibles State has. So when you have that, I think it makes for a more interesting matchup. And I want to see a fun 6-7 game series. I want that. Oklahoma City, the Clippers, again, that's just going to be a fun 5-game series. That's all it's going to be, a fun 5-game series. It's going to be cool, big names, but they don't have no shot in hell. They don't have no shot in hell. And speaking of OKC and Golden State, let's talk about Kevin Durant. I mean, if you're a basketball fan that's on social media, then you're very aware of the ever-growing connection between Kevin Durant and the Golden State Warriors and how the Warriors are reportedly going to pursue Kevin Durant this summer because he's an unrestricted free agent. And, of course, everybody in the NBA is supposed to have a ton of money because of the increased cap space along with because of the fact that the TV deals. So everybody's going to have a lot of money. And it's interesting because I saw this morning – Nate Jones, I think, like, works in marketing and stuff. And, you might know him on Twitter as Jones on the NBA or something like that. Salute to him. And he was talking about, really, KD and Golden State and what type of reaction it would, cause. And his main point of the argument was really – not argument. I think his main point of his discussion was really about the fact that talking about KD's brand – versus his playing legacy and how his brand is predicated on the fact that he's a superstar that's supposed to lead a team. Now it's growing and how going to Golden State would hurt his legacy. I agree with that part. Look, here's the deal. And I remember telling Andrew this, and I remember even saying a few others this. It's going to be easy for a lot of people if Kevin Durant somehow went to Golden State and they go, oh, this is like when LeBron went to Miami. Everybody's going to say that. So just be ready. In the event that this does happen, a lot of people are going to be quick to say LeBron in Miami is very reminiscent of this. But I said it on the show last week. It's very different. And the reason why it's very different is because when you look at what LeBron was doing, his situation in Cleveland, basically carrying that franchise, he did what he can do. Now, of course, we could talk about questionable behavior in the semifinals versus Boston. We could talk about that game 5 and things like that among some other times. But for the most part, we know what LeBron did during his first stint in Cleveland. But the reason why it's different is because LeBron didn't go to the Miami Heat, who were, an all-time team, a team that was easily the best team in the league. Like, Miami, even though they won a championship in 2006, they weren't a championship organization. Yeah, they won a title, but they weren't a championship organization. Remember, what was it? They won the chip. Then what happened the year after? I think the year after, they lost to the Bulls in the first round. I think they got swept. Then they had a losing season. Wade got injuries. And then it was like 2 years after that, leading into 2010, there was like that fringe playoff team, first round, and now that was it. That was Miami, even though they had the chip. Okay, so that's different. Right? And even then, LeBron, okay, being the best player in the world, cool, but it wasn't like LeBron was joining Dwayne Wade when Dwayne Wade was the best player in the world. Dwayne Wade was just Dwayne Wade. He was a very good player, but he wasn't like all LeBron's equal. Same thing with Chris Bosh. Kevin Durant, if he went to Golden State, would be going to a team that would be a back-to-back NBA champion, a team that would possess the best player in the league, who is a back-to-back MVP winner and likely finals MVP. They'll be going to a team that will have all-star caliber player in Klay Thompson, a walking triple-double in the all-star Draymond Green, an incredible coaching staff, okay? A team that forget just winning 70-plus games, they could mess around and win 74, 75 games and only lose single-digit amount of games during the season. That's the type of team we're talking about Kevin Durant potentially joining. And Kevin Durant's already considered, and rightfully so, to be a top five player. Where he's ranked in the top five, up to you. But either way, we know that he is without a doubt a top five player in the NBA. So that can cause some friction. That can cause some hate to go his way. But I say that to say this. Because of that possibly happening, should Durant put in front his brand, in front of his playing career? Because as long as he has the opportunity to live a long life, Durant's going to have the opportunity to make money. He's not going to have the chance to always compete for an NBA championship. Let me say that again. As long as, God willing, Kevin Durant can be on this earth for as long as he can be, he will always have the opportunity to make his money. But he will not always have the opportunity to compete for a championship. You get what I'm saying? So, should we, looking at Durant, should we go, man, he should just really consider his brand instead of his playing career? Should that really be the case, though? Because we've seen that thinking with Carmelo Anthony, and look how that's going. Now, you could say the circumstances are different, of course, but at the end of the day, it goes back to that main point. Carmelo Anthony, with his move, basically decided that staying in New York was really best for business because of that money, because of his brand. And we see how that's going for him. He's not happy. The Knicks are a losing team. They're not going to be anywhere close to being a championship-caliber team soon, and he's going to waste the rest, which is little, of his prime years there. So what Durant should do, I know some people say, well, he should go to a team that needs a number one option like him in that team. Here is the thing that causes me to pause. I feel like that's much easier said than done, but it's very hard to do. Because if you're Kevin Durant, how do you leave, no matter what happens in Oklahoma City, a fellow top five, top eight player in Russell Westbrook? Because not every team in the league has Russell Westbrook. And Russell Westbrook has risen in importance to KD because it's not just about, okay, Kevin Durant's the number one option, Westbrook is number two, so it's about Westbrook helping out Durant. No, folks. With Westbrook's emergence, along with the injuries that happened to Durant, it's a 1A, 1B situation in Oklahoma City to where it's really both of them doing what they got to do to help each other out and how they can take turns. It's different than what it was 3-4 years ago when it was, yep, Durant's clear-cut number one, Westbrook, you're number two, Westbrook, you do what you got to do to help Durant. No, it's they're 1A, 1B. They both have to help each other out. They both take turns. And the reason why I say that is because I tweeted this a few weeks ago, and I didn't tweet it in a disrespectful way, but it's just I don't look at Kevin Durant as a clear-cut number one option no more. I don't look at it as KD, yeah, he could definitely be the clear-cut number one option on a team that has a number two or number three or not even. And I think if you're KD, I think you know your best chances of winning comes if you have a team that does have that, or does have a 1B that can match with your 1A, which is why Golden State is always considered a legitimate option. Of course, you have the other teams out there that he can go to. I know people mentioned Boston and, of course, Washington and Miami and Houston, but it's kind of like it just depends on the dynamic, man, and who that player is. It really does. You know what I'm saying? Like, it really does, like, in terms of, and another thing too is people look at Durant and go, well, Durant's 27 or 28, but yeah, but he's a, as I like to say, an old 27 or 28. Again, the dude's basically closing in on 10 years in the league, 10 years in which he's been playing in the freaking deep May, early June, since what, the last 5-6 years has been the case, plus he plays international ball, and then he plays the summer ball all over the freaking country. So he's an older 27, 28 years old guy. It's not like he's young. It's not like, you know, he's like 5-6 years into the league. No, he's about to be in the year 10 next season, if I'm right. Because he should be in year 9 now, right? Maybe year 8 possibly. But either way, he's an older player that's played a lot of minutes at his age with injuries. So, but for me personally, I think for Durant, for as much as you want to consider your brand, I think when it comes down to it is, bro, you have to consider your playing career. This is what you do. This is what you're going to be remembered by for the most part. You want to win. You want to compete. If he feels comfortable with going to a situation like a Boston or Miami or whatever, where he feels like he can be that guy and lead them to the promised land, then, hey, I wish him the best of luck. But even if he comes out east, I say this right now, that doesn't mean he's a guarantee to get to the finals because LeBron James is still in the east. Cleveland's going to be Cleveland. And Durant is going to have to start again in his new situation while Cleveland won't. So it's not a guarantee. Heck, even if he went to Boston, I wouldn't really consider it a guarantee. I'm just being honest because that roster is really excelling and doing well because of the genius of Brad Stevens. There's some talent there, but it's a Brad Stevens result that's going on over there. It's because of Brad. There's some talent, but it's because of Brad. That's really all I got to say about KD and his situation. It's either your brand matters most or your career. And it's about what options, you know, happen to pop up during the summer. It really is. It's interesting, man. You know what it is about Oklahoma City that's going to make it more interesting? It's because it's not just about Durant this summer. It's also about Westbrook. And I feel like a big part of Durant's free agency decision could be what are Westbrook's plans going to be in 2017, you know? And I feel like, and rightfully so, it should be. If I'm Durant, I'm not staying in Golden State unless I know for sure, or if I have a really strong feeling that Westbrook is staying too. No way I'm going to stay in Oklahoma City by my damn self and Westbrook's going to leave in a year. No way. I'm going to go to Westbrook and like, look, bro, hey, man. Are you staying long-term with me? Because I'm staying here, too. What are you trying to do? And if I feel like he's not going to stay or I'm going to have to play the year out, then either I'm going to sign a short-term deal, 2 years, 2-3 years or whatever, with an opt-out, or I'm not coming back. You got to get yourself your flexibility, man. You got to do the LeBron, baby. You got to do them short deals with the opt-outs, you know what I'm saying, and get your money. You got to do what LeBron do. Shout out to LeBron for doing that, by the way, man. Because a lot of players, they're picking up on game because of LBJ with those contracts. But what else did I have in mind? Of course, man, the ever-growing drama that's surrounding my Cleveland Cavaliers with LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. You know, a lot of it media created because, you know, team lose a couple games. Oh, something's going on in Cleveland. Kyrie doesn't want to be in Cleveland. LeBron's in Miami working out. LeBron's going to Miami. Returning to Miami. Here's the deal with when it comes to the Cavaliers, man. The Cavaliers won't win the NBA championship until mentally they become a much stronger team. That's their biggest issue right now. It's not a roster thing, even though, yes, it could use one more type of player, and that's an enforcer. So I agree with that statement. I really do. But it's a mental game, man. This team has to become more focused. They have to become more consistent. That is what's killing them more than anything. That is what's going to keep them from winning the NBA championship because they don't have that mentality that a Golden State has, that a San Antonio has, like I talked about earlier in the show. Because if they did, trust me, I would easily say, man, Cleveland could win a chip. That's why, in my opinion, Cleveland's opportunity to win a title is really based on who comes out the West. If Oklahoma City or the Clippers somehow come out the West, I'm feeling very confident that the Cavaliers are winning the championship. If it's San Antonio, I'm feeling 55-45, 50-50, but I feel good. I feel like we could win.
Golden State, hell no, I don't feel like we can win, bro. It's not about a talent thing. It's not even just about matchups. It's just I know we can't compete with those boys because mentally they kick our butt in terms of their mentality. You dig what I'm saying? Well, Cleveland is just about it's a lack of focus at times. And even I'll call out LeBron right here. It's also about a lack of leadership. LeBron does all this talking about sacrifice, doing what's best for the team, locking in, same focus, and yet he forgets the fact that you have to be somebody that not only talks the talk but walks the walk. You understand me? You have to be able to walk the walk if you're going to talk the talk first. And I think that's the biggest thing LeBron doesn't understand, bro, with the tweets and everything. It's about you have to be a leader of men. You have to be somebody that's about that action, in the words of the great Marshawn Lynch, of the great Beast Mode. You have to be somebody that just leads by example. And LeBron doesn't lead by example. You have to lead by example. You can't talk about sacrifice and doing this and doing that, and your actions don't reflect your words. Because people are looking at you, you the leader. And I think another thing that he took for granted was he thought that he could translate the culture that was built in Miami to Cleveland just because he was able to bring a James Jones and a Mike Miller there and that he was there. No. This is a work in progress. It's like what I said about Golden State and San Antonio. That culture for them was built over years, dude. For San Antonio, you're looking at a culture that's basically been built for 20 years. For Golden State, we going on 7 years of a culture being built. Even if you go back to the old Bulls teams, even though in the 90s winning 6 chips, you know how that culture was built? Because that culture was built starting in the 80s from those lessons when they was losing to Boston and eventually losing to Detroit. Years of experience and culture being built. That's not going to happen for Cleveland in less than 2 years. It's just not. It's just how the game goes. It's just not. You dig what I'm saying? It's just not. Unless everybody grows up and everybody takes responsibility for their actions, including, and most importantly, LeBron Raymond James. He has to be the guy that sets the tone. And I remember seeing that multiple times during last season. LeBron has to be the guy that sets the tone because he's been there. He's been in situations that a great majority of the roster hasn't been. You can't be passive-aggressive with your leadership. You can't just let guys learn on their own and not try to help. There's times where you got to set the tone and let guys know this is for real. Do I think Cleveland will get to the finals? Yes. I'm not worried about getting to the finals. I'm really not. But it's just about if we're trying to win. If we want to give ourselves just the opportunity, just the chance to feel as if we can beat Golden State or anybody coming out west, it's our mentality has to be right. Our mentality has to be ready to go. And that's all I have to say about those Cavs, man, about my Cavs. But other than that, thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. Episode 6, episode LeBron James of the Snatchback Podcast. Of course, announcements. Please check me out on Twitter at Arden Sports Talk. Check out the YouTube channel, of course. All of that is in the description below. Definitely check out my SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/seriously914, because that's the home of the Foreside podcast that I host with Wills. And speaking of the Foreside, me and Wills, we're making a new episode next week. I think we're going to have a special guest. Other than that, you already know I'm out here working, doing what I got to do. And I'm definitely going to be back with a new episode of the Snatchback next week. Like I said before, thank you for listening. And I have to figure out what I'm going to do this afternoon. I have such a busy afternoon, man, in terms of work. And I think I have to cover a game later. So I'm going to figure that out. You guys stay focused, stay blessed. And speaking of blessed, make sure you bless up, all right? Talk to you guys later. Peace.